think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Tonight, there is a new Trump defense, bravado. Bravado is a Spanish word which in current American English usage means boasting, exaggerating, which in legal terms means lying. So the new Trump defense tonight is I was lying. Donald Trump's latest defense, delivered this evening in a discussion with reporters on his campaign plane, is that he was not holding up and showing the Pentagon's war plan against Iran. Donald Trump said tonight, I would say it was bravado. If you want to know the truth, it was bravado. I was talking and just holding up papers and talking about them, but I had no documents. I didn't have any documents.
Didn't have any documents. Now, that's Lawrence O'Donnell, MSNBC. He is correctly reporting what Trump said in an interview on board his plane after leaving a campaign speech and then kind of reenacted. We're going to get into all that for you, but again, suggesting the documents he held up and showed that are on the audio tape, which you'll get a chance to hear again in a moment. He said there were no real plans in there, nothing more than building plans. And Lawrence O'Donnell, quick to jump on and say, see, that's just another excuse. And then Trump's admitting he was lying when he was talking to people in that room that day. I mentioned to you previously, just because he held up papers and weighed them, we don't know if they were confidential, top secret, or anything. Even if they had a marking on them, we don't really know. And we don't know if anyone in the room actually could see what he had. Or they're just reacting and acknowledging that, yeah, we believe you or something. I'm not saying it's wrong to question what Trump had, what he was waving around, and if he were waving top secret documents, and they were not declassified, as he had admitted in the audio recording, then there's an issue for him. Now, I know many that are hard Trump supporters don't like me saying that. But there are no sacred cows with me. Everything and everyone is going to be questioned. And that should stand in front of the face of every one of you who think, there, Connors is just a sold-out, conservative, radical, MAGA Trump idiot. You can call me what you want, but I'm going to give it to you the way I see it. And I want to try to present some balance with it. Here we are, and glad to have you with us, June 28th. And, of course, in addition to our 6 o'clock program, I remind you we do during the noon hour each day a live stream on Rumble. You can go to rumble.com during the noon hour, enter in Larry Connors USA or News Talk STL. That'll take you right to the page. Join us in studio. If you can't do it then, you can always pull it up later and watch it on Rumble, doing the same way, Larry Connors USA or News Talk STL. And, of course, all the audio casts are also placed at LarryConnorsUSA.com. We're everywhere for you. You won't miss anything. I also encourage you to subscribe for free. We do not share your information. And at the same time, we also make sure that you get it. By subscribing, it goes right to your mailbox. You can also share with others. Appreciate you sharing. So let's go back over the situation, set it up again. Lawrence O'Donnell is referring to the audio tape that CNN and NN broke the other night, saying this is what the jury is going to be hearing. And, of course, the question still has to be, how did CNN and NN get that tape? That audio tape? you know, because they're hand in glove with the federal prosecutor, the Democrats, Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, the rest of them. Now, exactly how they got it, I don't know, but I will guarantee you, I've not heard one word, have you? one word from the prosecutor in that case, crying foul. We're going to look and see who leaked this early. We're going to find who did it. That was wrong. It was going to possibly endanger the jury in the sense of basically taking away any lack of bias they might have. I haven't heard that. Have you? No, no. You know why they're not making noise over it? Because they don't care that he got out there like that. Which suggests to me that maybe they really don't have any kind of case. They certainly don't have enough to put it up as espionage, as they're trying. But they're not out there crying for, we need to track down who leaked that document. That's information to be presented to the jury. It should not have been released. But they're not asking about it, are they? All right, let's go back to a clip of that audio where Donald Trump is talking to a couple of writers doing a piece for Mark Meadows, writing a book about him, and answering some questions. And a couple of his staffers in the room. We don't know if Mark Meadows was there. But let's go ahead and hear again the clip that got released by CNN and saying, this proves Donald Trump violated the Espionage Act. No, but let's go with the story.
This totally wins my case, you know. Mm-hmm. Except it is like highly confidential, yeah. Secret. This is secret information. But look at this. You attack. And
Hillary would print that out all the time. You know.
She'd send it to Anthony Weiner, the pervert. By the way, isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
I was just saying, because we were talking about it. And you know, he said he wanted to attack Iran and what? This was done by the military, given to me. I think we can probably, right?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to
declassify.
Figure out a.
See, as president, I could have declassified.
Yeah.
No, I can't, you know, but this is.
Yeah, now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, you heard him say declassifying. Well, no, I can't because he's out of office at that point. But, of course, he could have declassified previously, and he has said he did. Now, as you heard Lawrence O'Donnell say, no, now he's got another excuse. I wasn't really showing any classified material anyway. Which story is right? I don't know. Do you? Of course you don't. If you're a full, dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporter, you're going to support, believe everything he says. If you're just simply going to be honest, you're going to question. Doesn't mean he's wrong. Doesn't mean he's committed a crime, but you should be raising questions. But let's go back to Lawrence O'Donnell and let him fill in the gaps in his view.
When it sounds like he is showing the Iran war plan in specificity, including multiple pages of it, to the people around him, is, I was lying. I did not have the Iran war plan with me. I did not have the Iran war plan in my hands. I was just bragging about it. In other words, the Trump defense is he was lying about the papers that you can hear him shuffling and handling on the audio recording. Semaphore is reporting that in the discussions with reporters on his plane, Donald Trump said, I just held up a whole pile of, my desk is loaded up with papers. I have papers from 25 different things. At one point, Trump gestured to the seat next to him on the plane where a stack of various papers, newspapers, copies of his speech, printouts of articles, sat. He grabbed some from the pile and placed them in front of him, moving them around as he spoke and offering up a physical reenactment of what he said was occurring on the audio tape.
So that's bad? Depends on what he's waving around and if it's classified or not. And as I say and repeat again, we still don't really know. But here's where Lawrence O'Donnell steps way, way over the line. When you hear him make a comparison coming up, you're going to say, how can you possibly have that kind of overreach? It is so-called jumping the shark.
Donald Trump, in his interview with Fox Digital today, said something that every mafia kingpin used to say. It's a phrase, we've never heard from someone who wasn't guilty of very serious crimes. The mafia version of the phrase was always, I'm a legitimate businessman. That's what every big gangster and murderer like Al Capone always said. Here was Donald Trump's version of his 21st century gangster defense.
I don't do things wrong. I do things right. I'm a legitimate person.
I'm a legitimate person. That is almost word for word what Al Capone, Lucky Luciano, Frank Costello, Raymond Patriaca, Gennaro Angiulo, John Gotti, and other mob bosses said when they were accused of crimes, which they all committed.
Done. Done. We don't need a trial now. Lawrence O'Donnell said he's like Capone and all those gangsters. We just need to find the bodies of those Trump has killed. We don't need a trial. Let me make it clear. I have no issue with state-controlled media, as I say, SCM, covering the Trump case in whatever way they want, putting their spin on it. But of course, the state-controlled media continues to ignore the Biden story. If you want coverage of that story, you have to get away from that, quote, journalistic bias. You have to get away from it.
The House Oversight Committee releasing more WhatsApp messages sent by Hunter Biden, this time to a Chinese energy company associate. This is CEFC. In 2017, Hunter Biden writes this, $10 million per annum budget to use to further the interest of the joint venture. This move to $5 million is completely new to me and is not acceptable, obviously. I can make $5 million in salary at any law firm in America. The Bidens are the best I know at doing exactly what the chairman wants from this partnership, he writes. This is the New York Times waited until the 21st paragraph of a piece today to even acknowledge the mishandling of the Hunter Biden investigation. The New York Post editorial board writing this, freeze Hunter's plea deal until we know which prosecutors lied to save him.
That's a big deal. We do need to freeze that deal. And in fact, Maria also had, that was Maria Bartiromo, of course, on Fox talking about the text that Hunter had written demanding more money, saying, we're not going to take less, and I got my father sitting right here with me, and you don't want to make us angry. You will pay a high price if you don't deliver what we want. She also had on her program to get reaction from a former U.S. prosecutor who's now serving in the Congress, Tennessee Congressman David Kustoff, and he had this reaction to the plea deal.
That plea agreement was announced, I think, Tuesday of last week. We had our hearing in the Ways and Means Committee to decide whether to release these transcripts from the two whistleblowers 2 days after the plea agreement. And I think that the nation knew about these transcripts, the testimony from the two IRS whistleblowers. Before the plea agreement never would have been agreed to.
Yeah, and to that extent, Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz also says and reminds us the judge has to approve this deal. And he said the judge who is sentencing Hunter Biden must call Merrick Garland and must call the prosecutor, U.S. Attorney David Weiss. All these witnesses had said, look, you wanted the deal to go through the Justice Department, but I'm a judge. I represent the people of the United States. I want answers. Larry Kudlow is raising a question to John Ratcliffe, also a former U.S. attorney, former director of National Intel. And the question he raises, I think, is very good.
To me, you go for the big fish, not the little fish. They don't have all the time in the world. And therefore, I would go after Joe Biden because I think impeachment is the only way Biden could be brought to justice if the charges alleged turn out to be true. What do you think about this impeachment story, Biden or Garland?
Well, Larry, I think you go for both. And I think that House Republicans have the ability to prosecute the case against both simultaneously. So you're right. This allegation against Joe Biden, WhatsApp message that the whistleblower has identified about a potential $5 million bribe. The reason you know that that's very serious, Larry, is watching how the White House has changed their tone in the White House press room. So John Kirby and Corinne Jean-Pierre went from giving really glib responses like, oh, it's a bunch of malarkey, to in the last couple of days, John Kirby running away from reporters, and Corinne Jean-Pierre, instead of saying in response to a question, was Joe Biden with Hunter Biden at that time, instead of saying no, said, I refer you to the White House counsel.
That is a clear spin on what they've been doing, which raises the next issue that John Ratcliffe gets into. Somebody might have to be sacrificed. It won't be Hunter.
The whistleblower in this case, every time Merrick Garland has denied that he has interfered, the whistleblower has come forward with receipts, has come forward with real-time emails that corroborate what he's saying, and other witnesses that were there and corroborate what he's saying. And so really what House Republicans need to do is systematically prosecute this case, do things like interview, you know, did Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf really say, we're not going to ask any questions about whether about the Joe Biden being the big guy or a relationship between Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. There'll be a paper trail if Hunter Biden's lawyers were tipped off about a search warrant. And if there really was an attempt to bring felony indictments against Hunter Biden that were not ultimately brought, there's going to be a paper trail about that. And I think, Larry, that if that proves to be true, I don't think there'll be an impeachment trial against Merrick Garland. I think in the face of that, if it's corroborated, he'll resign, or Joe Biden will fire his wingman and let him be the fall guy for this.
I don't think the term wingman was on his mind at the time. It wasn't on mine. He will fire his arse, right? Coming up, John LaBoutière's take on Biden and the Trump cases. Now, John is not a Trumper, and John always raises the temperature in the room, but I'm going to let him respond to both of these cases. Lock and load, ready, on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm chasing tail lights, straight as a crow flies, hunting just a standard country road. I've got a shotgun, it's riding shotgun, and we're both fixing to unload.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my guest. We've had on numerous times before. Always glad to engage in conversation with him. I know a lot of you get upset every time I have him on, but that's even more reason to let you hear his views. John LaBoutière, former congressman from New York, also author of the book Harvard Hates America. He's a Reaganite, not a Trump supporter. John, again, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Larry. Great to be with you. How are you?
I'm great. We've had a lot of developments since you and I last talked. We've got both things going swirling around Trump and Biden. I tell you what, I'm going to give you an opportunity I've never done before. You tell me which subject you want to go into first, Biden or Trump.
Well, I'll do either one, and I wish we had more time, because the bigger issue than either of them,
okay,
since we last talked, is what is happening in Russia with Putin.
True,
because that will impact the entire world. But
actually, I was going to ask a question on that at the very end, but since you brought it up, let's go ahead and many are believing that, you know, it was a failed coup. And others are saying it never was intended. What do you think?
Well, I don't pretend to know. I mean, I don't know for sure what Prigozhin was up to. But clearly, Prigozhin and the Wagner group, it's an odd system that you have your military and then you have a private-run militia that's in competition with your military that suddenly turned on the military, or the military turned on it, which is Prigozhin's claim that what precipitated this was that the Russian artillery bombed a Wagner outpost in Ukraine and killed a whole bunch of Wagner troops who were Russian. So it's almost like a civil war, Russian versus Russia, Russians killing each other, and then marching on Moscow to try to overcome the military leadership there. I mean, the thing is kind of weird, you know? And yeah. I was at a dinner party last night with a guy that was there who said there's a third group in Russia, the Chechen Army, which is run by this guy, Kadyrov, who he said is even worse than Prigozhin. He's so far pro-Putin, and he's got a big force of fighters that were getting activated to come to Putin's rescue that day. So
we don't want a nuclear power being unstable. That is critical. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right. So now between Trump and Biden, which one you want to bite into first?
Well, let's do Trump. I
mean, I'm surprised. Go ahead.
Well, because since we last talked, I don't think we talked since the Mar-a-Lago case was charged 2 weeks ago yesterday.
Correct. No, we have not.
With 37 felonies, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You know, not too far from you, last week, this former FBI analyst, a woman in Dodge City, I think it was, but she was tried in Kansas City, for taking home, not top secret, but secret documents to her house. This is a former FBI analyst. And she took them home and had them in her house, including in her bathtub, hopefully without any water.
Well, John, we, a lot of people in the federal government have done that. We know that. Only one person has, the ability to do it, though.
I'm getting to the point.
Okay.
She was tried and convicted, and last week was sentenced to 4 years in federal prison for taking these documents
home. Espionage charges or...
The same law that Trump is being charged
he's
under.
He's being charged under espionage.
Under the Espionage Act.
Right.
And under that law, it's retention of classified documents. And that's what this woman was charged with. My point, Larry, is the prosecutor who did that case is based in Kansas City, named David Raskin. And he won that case, and he is now working for Jack Smith on the Mar-a-Lago case. And, oh, by the way, he and I, for many years, were on the same baseball team here in New York. I'm the pitcher, and he's the catcher. And I remember the week that he became an assistant U.S. attorney, and he was so proud of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was about 25 years ago. It was before 9/11.
Yeah.
And here he is. He's risen to the top in the Justice Department as a prosecutor of this type of case, the Mar-a-Lago case.
Let me deal with the audio tape that CNN was playing the other day that's supposedly going to be played before the jury, where Trump is waving the stuff around. Now, last night on a plane, he was doing another interview saying, I was just waving papers around building plans. So we don't really know what he did wave or not wave. But the audio tape itself, wouldn't the prosecutors be wanting to know who got that information out to the public or the media? That's to be used in our trial. Have you heard anybody complain about that?
Well, Trump complained about it.
I'm talking about the prosecutor. Has a prosecutor said who releasing material we're using in our trial?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who released it. A lot of people could have released it.
But doesn't it seem suspicious as to why they're not asking? So...
Well, we don't know that they're not asking. Maybe they're asking privately going to the people who have the tape.
They may well be.
There are a lot of people. There are two different people in that meeting, Margo Martin being one, and one of the authors of the book about Mark Meadows.
Yeah.
They both taped that meeting.
Right.
So either one of them could have leaked it. Okay. Either one of them could have given it to someone else. Their lawyers could have leaked it. Trump could have leaked it. Who knows who leaked it? Okay. We don't know.
Okay, so now let me turn in
the
last three.
And in the end, what difference does it make? It's going to be played. It's going to be played in the trial. We're all going to hear it.
Right.
Like we heard his call to Brad Raffensperger in Georgia. I can almost repeat that thing.
Okay, well, in our last 3 minutes, let me focus on Biden and your views on that. Hunter Biden pleading guilty last week to 2 misdemeanor counts, failure to pay taxes on time, and the whistleblowers are saying, it wasn't just that. He was hiding. I mean, he was giving money, taking money, giving it to a company, saying, now you pay it back to me as a loan. And they're saying anyone else would have been going to jail for that. John Ratcliffe was saying that basically Joe Biden is going to have to make a decision. He's not going to sacrifice Hunter, but he might well say, Merrick Garland, you're on the chopping block because this case is going upside down.
Wait a sec. John Ratcliffe, first of all, has nothing to do with anything. He was the director of national intelligence.
He was also a former U.S. prosecutor. He was also former U.S.
prosecutor. Well, that's fine, but he's not in this case, Larry.
I know. A lot of people are.
I'm asking your opinion. Is Joe Biden?
You're not in the case. Yeah. You're not in the case, but I'm asking your opinion. In this case, Ratcliffe.
But I'm not claiming. I'm not claiming to be in the case. And the idea that Merrick Garland is going to get fired for what? It was Trump's U.S. attorney, Mr. Weiss, who prosecuted and made the decision on what to do with Hunter Biden. Merrick Garland purposely stayed out of it.
The whistleblowers are saying they got denied. The case should have been wrapped up a year ago, and now a statute of limitations has been applied. Your thoughts?
Well, and those guys, to me, I don't even know who they are. That guy with the short beard, I've seen him on TV. He's not a whistleblower.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Because he hasn't gone through the system of a whistleblower in his department, he's an IRS agent. He hasn't gone through it, and we'll see when the
are you open to the fact
that I don't? Most whistleblowers don't go on national TV first shot out of the box.
Yeah.
They complain internally and work their way up through the system to protect themselves.
Right.
That's what the whistleblower law is supposed to do. Right. He hasn't invoked that law. He's just gone on TV.
Okay. All right. So you don't believe him. I got that point. Now I want to give you the last 20 seconds, sir. Go ahead.
The Hunter Biden case hasn't been, the plea has not yet been accepted by a federal judge. So let's wait and see if the judge accepts it. Okay. And if he does, that's the end of the Hunter Biden case. The rest of it are these two chairmen in the House, Comer and Jordan, who are just trying to hurt Joe Biden. That's all they're doing.
Okay.
They're trying to muddy up the water while their buddy Donald Trump is getting indicted all the time.
All right, John. As always, we like it. Good temperature. We appreciate it. John LeBoutier. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis. A place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com, AllenOutdoorSTL.com, or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Roxanne!
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is a very treacherous territory for a guy like Donald Trump, because his wheeling and dealing and his lying at every turn just doesn't work in a courtroom. I mean, he is so stupid. It is just amazing how stupid he is. It reminds me of making closing arguments, and Andrew can probably relate to this, but I always loved as a prosecutor because you got the last word. And invariably, the defense would, in their closing argument, say, well, nobody could be this stupid. And I'd always stand up in my rebuttal and say, if we have to open the prison doors for stupid, we won't have anybody in prison, because everybody who does criminal activity at some level is dumb.
Those are the words. Some of you might have recognized the voice. Former Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill, now serving as an analyst for MSNBC. And Trump is so stupid. Oh, I know. I hear some of you right now rebelling and yelling, Larry, why are you putting all these people on that hate Trump? First of all, it's good radio. Secondly, I want you to always hear the other side. See, that's the difference in the way I try to do this program compared to what you get from the state-controlled media or even Fox and others like that. I want you to hear all sides. That was, again, Claire McCaskill talking about her opinion, pretty much duplicating what you were hearing from my guest just before, John LaBoutier, that Trump is in deep S and it's because he's stupid. Now, she didn't go as far as Lawrence O'Donnell to claim he's in the same category as Al Capone and all the mafiosa, but in her opinion, he's stupid. Speaking of stupid, who wants to run for political office nowadays? And who wants to run in the primary against Donald Trump? His numbers are 20-plus points ahead of anyone. DeSantis is slipping a little bit. Others are just barely negligible. One of the smartest, I think, within the field for the primary, Vivek Ramaswamy, barely registering. And, of course, you also have the one woman, I think, that could be, one, be great as a vice president. She certainly could be a good president as well. She has served us as an ambassador to our U.N., and a previous governor, and of course, that's Nikki Haley. And she says, if you really are concerned about what's going to happen in the upcoming election, you got to keep this in mind.
Don't complain about what you get in a general election if you don't play in this primary. It's why every single American needs to be paying attention to the primaries, because we've got to have someone who wins a Republican primary that can actually win a general election. You know, it's been pretty much regular that everybody always tries to see how far right they can get, how, you know, to get the most right candidate. The most right candidate's not going to win a general election. We've got to get in there and talk about someone who can handle the economy, who can handle crime, who understands transparency and education, who knows we've got a border issue, but also knows the national security threats that we face.
Now, everything she just named, without using his name, does apply to Donald Trump, except for the part that being who's the most right in the sense of not being correct, but partisanship. The candidates are lining up against Trump. Obviously, you have to keep in mind the so-called MAGA movement. But the MAGA movement exists outside of Trump. He might have been the one to initiate it, but it's still bigger than Trump. It is anyone in any party, by the way, and this certainly would include some Democrats, obviously independents, who believe they want to make America great again. Look where we are right now. Now, Nikki Haley mentioned the economy and everything else going on, understanding national security, which includes our southern border. Trump understands all of those. He also knows how to get deals done. So everything she did, she could have said, Donald Trump can do all of these. But she didn't want to bring up Donald Trump's name, and she is trying to say the primary is going to be very important. Now, we have, at this time, I'm thinking 6 to 8 contenders in the Republican primary. And if I repeat again to you the numbers for Trump, just continue to walk away from everyone else. I'm looking at, you know, some of the latest campaign numbers. And again, keep in mind, these numbers mean only for what they meant at that point, period. Beyond that, they are meaningless. But I don't see, going through some of these, I don't see anything that shows anyone within 20 points of him. But we still have a long ways to go. Things can go upside down. The idea of being this case that's going on in Miami, the very one John LaBoutier and I were talking about earlier, is obviously intended to hurt Trump and make him not a good candidate. Now, that doesn't mean they're not obviously still going after what they, quote, believe is a legitimate case. But if they can damage Trump, that's all to their advantage as well. Liz Cheney was appearing on CNNN, and you heard how McCaskill called Trump stupid. Liz Cheney made some remarks also that she didn't use Trump's name either, but you're going to get the gist of it.
What we've done in our politics is create a situation where we're electing idiots. And and so I don't look at it through the lens of, like, you know, is this what I should do or what I shouldn't do? I look at it through the lens of, how do we elect serious people? And I think electing serious people can't be partisan.
Liz Cheney, former Wyoming congresswoman, speaking last night, New York City Center for Culture and Arts. I think electing serious people can't be partisan. I can hear some of her reasoning. I can accept some of it. But then when she said we're electing idiots, a lot of folks saying Liz Cheney's a perfect example. Now, that's what they would say. She doesn't get a lot of love from me either. But, of course, there are a lot of candidates that may surface it. They might be considered, in your view, to be an idiot. But somebody's going to end up getting the office. So let's take that statement from her in part again and put it against the evaluation and the analysis of a political commentator for CNN, and that's Margaret Hoover.
I think electing serious people can't be partisan.
If you look at the Republicans who survived in the last election, who voted to convict Donald Trump, who did not vote for Brett Kavanaugh, Lisa Murkowski, for example, or the two House Republicans who survived that voted to convict or that voted to impeach, all of them came from states that have passed some kind of voting reform, some kind of electoral reform that allows for the primary process to play to a broader group of Americans, not a closed ideological extreme base of a party.
And again, you know who she's referring to, Donald Trump. An extreme. Well, the left has his extremes too. And they get elected, and they continue to fail their populace and their constituents repeatedly, and they get reelected. And their plans get put in motion again, and if not by then, someone else just like them. I mean, when New York City Mayor Adams came in, I thought that's going to help them. He's a Democrat, but also a law enforcement guy. Nope, he suddenly became an idiot, to use the terms they've been throwing around. You want another example? Let's turn to the state of Illinois. Do you know what Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Democrat, doesn't stand for dummy, or does it? He is now stopping a program that offers tax-subsidized health care benefits to illegal aliens. Why? Well, he suddenly realized it's a tremendous cost to the state taxpayers. Suddenly realized? Like New York City Mayor Adams suddenly realized, we can't be having these illegals come here, and we've got more illegals we're taking care of than others. And in fact, there's something like 700,000 illegal aliens now living in the sanctuary state of Illinois. So Pritzker's announcing, we got to live within our fiscal limits. Hasn't been done for years, he said. Well, he nailed that, and you haven't helped with what you offered up as an illegal sanctuary. Which brings me also to the COVID issue. We're going to get into this more in the next hour. They now have decided by investigation from a federal watchdog, federally funded groups, looking at the U.S. Small Business Administration, believes that $200 billion in COVID-19 aid might have been stolen. Are you surprised? There is no way you could be surprised by that. Coming up, more debris from the Titan sub found, and also something that the CEO said about his creation.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Stockton Rush, who perished on the Titan sub, he was the CEO of the company that built it. And Rush had at one point invited in a conversation over cigars with Travel Weekly editor-in-chief Arnie Weissman to maybe go on board the sub with him. Weissman told the Washington Post, I immediately had concerns. I asked him, do you have any concerns? And he said he was very dismissive and said, no, it's perfectly fine. Having all these certifications for airplanes is one thing, but the carbon fiber was perfectly sound. Rush at that point was talking about and admitting to Weissman he bought expired carbon fiber graded for planes at a discount to make his Titan sub. It ended with his death and the death of four others. Rush says he had collaborated with Boeing on the submarine design, Boeing releasing a statement saying, we never worked with Rush nor OceanGate, his company. We have no record of selling carbon fiber to OceanGate. And rules, and Rush has admitted that he had, quote, broke some rules by using carbon fiber, which isn't as safe as titanium or steel for deep sea dives. He said he did it for the purpose of elongating the cylinder-shaped cabin. But according to other experts, in fact, an associate professor of mechanical marine engineering said that the shape of that design caused pressure loads to increase in the midsections, which increases fatigue and loads on the fiber. He also said fatigue is like bending a wire back and forth until it breaks. The delamination, he said, is like splitting wood down the grain, which is easier than chopping across the grain. So if Rush admitted that he got this carbon fiber because it had been rejected for airplanes, but it would be perfect for him to take 2 miles under the ocean, it would be safe. And again, you have to keep in mind, the Titan had had numerous, at least 24 previous dives, not sure how deep of them were. And the engineer said, even if they're small, undetectable, over a period of time, they become critical. That's his explanation. I think he may be right about it. Coming up in the next hour, I want you to hear more details of exactly how, according to the whistleblowers, my guest earlier dismisses them, but I still want you to hear their views on how Hunter Biden was hiding money from the IRS and how he timed it, and the prosecution of him was timed so that, well, almost does get a get-out-of-jail card, a jail-free card, which, in fact, he did. Also want to tell you that next couple of days, Thursday and Friday, I will be gone, and I'm glad to tell you that Susie Moore, you often hear here on News Talk STL, is also the deputy managing editor of Red State, will be filling in for me. Glad to have her. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.